we thank you this morning because you are always with us. And we give you the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And thank you for the promises that you have given us, that we can come boldly at any time to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Now, Lord, this morning, let your name be glorified. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I am going to be teaching this morning, rather than preaching, and I want us to pay attention. The message and the teaching is going to be on the importance of prayer. Praise the Lord. The importance of prayer. And I'm going to be talking about a number of things, and hopefully we can get this through very quickly. Let me start here in the book of 2 Chronicles. I am going to start at chapter 7 and read one verse and hear what the Lord had to say. Or maybe I'll read a couple of verses instead of just one verse, just to give us the context. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm sure at one point in time or the other, some of us have read this or heard about it. Let me start at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Can you say amen to that? Now, when there is trouble, which even the Lord may have commanded, in this case, he said, if I shut up heaven, you know, usually, you know, we saw the story when the people went away from the Lord, then the Lord gave them up to different kinds of crisis, even had tormentors and people in neighboring countries afflicting them and so forth. Or the Lord may even send pestilence and so forth. We saw all those stories in the Old Testament. And he said, even if I am the one that shut up the heaven, and if I am the one that made it so that it didn't rain, and I did all of these things and so forth, you know, because, you know, of the evil heart of the people. And even if I even send pestilence, he said, but if my people, which are called by my name, the first thing is humble themselves. Praise the Lord. If they humble themselves. You should listen to the message on the website called True Ingredients of Revival. Humble ourselves. That's number one. Number two is to pray. And then seek my face, the Lord said, and turn from our wicked ways. He said, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say it again, praise the Lord? First Timothy chapter 2. I will just read a few verses first, and then we'll get into the most important part of this teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's what Paul commanded by the Spirit of God. Verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications. Now I want you to know this, because I'm going to come back and talk about these kinds of prayers that are here in this verse. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority. Well, we don't have kings in this nation, but we have rulers, different kinds of things. You have president, governors, and so forth. You know, it says, pray for these people, for them that are in authority, that we may all lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. But, you know, before the kings, before the prayer for the kings, he already said, all men. Now, forget the gender. Men here is non-gender. Means everybody. But we should pray for everybody. He said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Praise the Lord. Let me read another text before we get into the serious part of this message. Ephesians chapter 6. And I noticed that this was already alluded to during the Bible review this morning, so that's good. Ephesians chapter 6, and I am going to read from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, how do we actually do this wrestling? I mean, are you going to go out physically, clench your fists, and get into physical fight with these spiritual powers and wickedness and so forth? No. We do it through prayer. And then we're going to see some other things. He says, all this wickedness in high places, but he gives us a commandment of how we should go into battle. Take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember, you know, talking, starting from the top. He said, look, you know, here are all the things that you need to do. It covers the whole body, as we heard today, except for the back. And he told us, look, you know, you put on the breastplate of righteousness. You have the belt around you of truth. You put on the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, so you're ready. Your feet are ready to bring good tidings. Above all, he said, you take on the shield of faith. Notice how he said, above all, the shield of faith, you know. Wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you have that shield, no matter what the enemy throws at you. And you take on the helmet of salvation. You take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Even as we heard today earlier, having one another's back. You know, notice all the things, emphasis he puts here. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, not just for yourself or just for your immediate family only, for all saints. So we see the commandments to prayer. We see God himself telling us that, look, when things are not going the way that they should be, we need to go into prayer. We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. We see the Spirit of God telling us that we need to make prayer for all men. You know, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and then giving of thanks. We need to do all of these things. And we see how the Lord begins to tell us throughout the scriptures. Throughout the scriptures. Everywhere we see this. Now, I am going to read a few examples in the Bible of the lives of prayer that we see. And then we are going to see and bring it home to ourselves, you know, how we should pray. You know, just about everybody that is in this room knows how to pray. But, you know, sometimes we don't use that culture of prayer as much as we should. You know, people will still pray, you know, a couple minutes and run off. And we don't get, you know, there's different kinds of prayer. And I'm going to get into that this morning. You know, there's there's a quick prayer that you can pray and then run off. You know, sometimes you can do that. I remember the story of Nehemiah. He was standing before king, and he was distressed because of the stories that he had heard about, Jerusalem being torn down, the temple being broken, and all of that, and so on. And the king said, "Well, why are you distressed?" And so on. I was a cupbearer, and normally you can't be distressed when you come to the presence of the king. And the king asked him, "What's your problem? Why are you sad?" And he said, "And I prayed to the God of heaven." So that was a quick prayer. He was connected with God, and he could make that one quick prayer right there. And before he gave his answer, king asked him a question, but just before he gave his answer, he said, "I pray to the God of heaven." So right there, he made one quick prayer because he was already connected with God. The channel was open. He could make that prayer right there. And God put in his mind what to say, and so forth. And then there are other kinds of prayers. There are some prayers also that you have to grind it out. It's not every prayer that is quick like that. And we're going to see, some of these examples. But let me talk about what Paul spoke about in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He talked about supplications. He also talked about prayer. Well, prayer, and supplication, prayer covers all this category that we're talking about. So let me leave prayer out for a minute, and let me talk about supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks. So let me talk about that for a minute, or for a little bit. So let's first of all review supplications. What is the meaning of supplications? Because we see so many scriptures, and I'm going to read some examples for you in a minute, of places where this word is used in the Bible concerning people's prayer. So let's see, what is supplication? What does it mean? Well, it's like making a request. Humbly beseeching someone and making a request. That's what supplication is. There's always that humility that is involved with supplication. Humbling of oneself to make a petition or a request of another. That's what supplication is. Now, he says, making your prayer with all supplications for all saints. Now, supplication can be for yourself, and it can be on behalf of somebody else. It can be for the church, it can be for the nations, and so forth like that. So that's supplications. We're going to get more into detail on that. Then there are intercessions. Intercessions mostly is praying on the behalf of somebody else. That's usually what intercession is, because you are interceding on somebody's behalf, or actually intervening in prayer, standing in the gap between God and somebody else. That's what intercession is. And we'll come back to examples on that. And then, of course, there is giving of thanks. And throughout the scriptures, we are told in so many places that we should be thankful, that we should give thanks unto God, and we should, always be thankful and give him thanks and praise. So we're going to be talking about these three kinds of prayers and how we use them and mingle them together. Why am I talking about this? Because we have a day of prayer that is coming this Friday, November the 6th, by the grace of God, through from Friday evening, 7 p.m., to Saturday evening, 7 p.m. And all day, we're going to be praying and asking God, and we're going to see some of the elements of these kinds of prayers. We want everybody to come out and be a part of that time, because it's the most important thing that we can do going into the next phase of what God has for us. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, let's look at some examples of supplications in the Bible. And I'm going to take the liberty and read some stories in the Bible, read some people's prayers, and point out some elements of the supplication that we see. A good one that comes to mind is in the story of Solomon when he was dedicating the temple. That comes to mind because we're about to go into a place and dedicate the place also. So let's read the story of Solomon. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And a lot of text in 1 Kings chapter 8 from verses 22 right through to about 61 will show you Solomon's prayer. I will not read all of it, but I will point out some highlights from the text. So we are looking at 1 Kings chapter 8. And we are starting at verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven. So we see that he's getting ready to make this prayer, and he's setting forth his hands toward heaven. And then he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenants and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. There is no God like you. Can you say amen to that? Who has kept with thy servant David my father what you promised him, and you have also what you spoke with it, your mouth, you have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. And then he began to pray, you know, and he began to say all of these things. Now, listen to verse 28. I'm going to skip through and just go along. Verse 28 says, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. So we see that, you know, Solomon is describing his own prayer here as supplication. Have respect, O Lord, unto the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. And as we begin to see all the things that he prayed here, he prayed about God's mercy if situation happens to them that makes them to be distressed before their enemies. He talked about so many things, even, you know, natural disasters and so forth. If things happen, you know, the heaven is shut up and all of these things, you know, if they pray and so forth, making supplication. You know, he said, Lord, that you will hear, you know, verse 45 says, when, you know, that you will hear from heaven their prayer and their supplication, and that you will maintain their cause. And he began to say all of these things. And we see that this whole long prayer, I don't have time to read all of it on account of time today, but I would like us to read that prayer. It's really a magnificent prayer of how he poured out his heart before the Lord and staged all the various things that he wanted the Lord to help them with throughout the lives and the history of the people of Israel. Now, and he talked about, you know, the supplication of God and the God's dwelling place. Look at verse 49. That thou should hear their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and you should maintain their cause. Over and over and over and over again, he refers to it as, you know, their supplication and so on. Verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of his praying, all this prayer and supplication. So if you want to see what an example of supplication is, seeing that this text has described this as supplication 5 or 6 times, you should read the way that Solomon laid this prayer out. He started out by glorifying God, by exalting God that there is none like him. And he started out by praising God for fulfilling his promises, the promise especially that he made to his father, David, that God will not, you know, forsake the throne of David, but will have a man to sit on his throne. And he said, Lord, that which you promised with your mouth, you have fulfilled it as it is this day. And he began to now lay forth a case before the Lord and asking for God, pleading with God for his mercy and saying that, look, Lord, if we should sin against you, you know, because there is no man that sinneth not, and if this and this should happen and so forth, and if you forsake us, if we come into this place and if we should spread our hands like this, and if we should call upon the name of the Lord, then let God hear our prayer and our supplication. And he began to lay it out. And it's a wonderful example of supplication before the Lord, how he begins to plead for God's mercies for even situation that is yet to come. So take that as an example of supplication. Another very good example is found in the book of Daniel. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, starting from verse 1 through about verse 23, we will see that Daniel also got involved with supplications and prayers, and in his case also, you know, even fasting. So let's take it from Daniel, chapter 9, and let's take a look at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, and so forth, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years. So he read the book of Jeremiah and so forth, so that 70 years will be accomplished, you know, for the desolations of Jerusalem. And as the time of the end of that, those 70 years began to come, he began to set his mind to seek and to praise the Lord. Now, so let's look at some elements in Daniel's prayer. First, it was based upon the word of God. He recognized by reading in the books the prophecy of Jeremiah and so forth. I began to see and understand what God had already said. And he said, well, you know, God said that we're going to go into this captivity for 70 years, and we are nearing the end of it now. So, Lord, you know, that word which you spoke, you know, now let's see how you begin to bring it to pass and bring us out at the end of these 70 years, you know, because it was already foretold. Now, he didn't just sit back and say, well, God said it's going to be 70 years, so we're now in 68 and a half. We only have a year and a half to go, so let's just relax. God's going to bring us out at the end of 70 years. He didn't do that. He understood by the word. And the word of God entered into his heart, and he began to motivate himself towards prayer. And he said, I set my face, verse 3, unto the Lord God, and to seek by prayer and supplications, notice that word again, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, this was a man that knew how to be contrite before the Lord. He poured ashes on his head. He wore rags and sackcloth and so forth. I mean, he set his face steadfastly until he was ashamed. And he began to plead the case. And he prayed this wonderful prayer. Again, he started out in verse 4 by saying, O Lord, the great, the dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy. The same way that, you know, Solomon prayed. He prayed and praised God for his faithfulness and for praising the Lord for all the things that God had done. And he began to say, look, Lord, you are the one that keeps the, you know, mercy and covenant to you that love him and so forth and keep his commandments. He began to praise the Lord. You know, that's how he started his prayer. And then he went further and said, look, you know, all the things that you promised us and all the great things that you have done for us, you know, nevertheless, we did not stay in your statutes. So he identified himself. There was a prayer of contrition here. You know, there was a prayer of repentance. He identified himself with the sins of the people. He didn't say, well, you know, this stiff-necked Israel, you know, they are the ones that have sinned, and I'm here, and I'm righteous, and so forth. No, he said, we have sinned. He said, God is holy, and we are unrighteous. And that is why this confusion of faces has come upon us. And he began to separate between the Lord's holiness, how great God's holiness is and his truthfulness, and how low they are in their own sins. And he began to bring indictment upon himself and his people. And he began to ask the Lord for grace and for mercy. He said, O Lord, to us belong confusion of faces, in verse 8. You know, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, and so forth, because we have sinned against thee. But unto you, Lord, belong forgiveness of sins. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Can you say truly praise the Lord for forgiveness of sins? I have seen throughout the scriptures, and I know with all my heart that the only time the people did not get forgiveness of sins is was when they did not cry unto God for his mercy. Sometimes God will pronounce judgment and they will just take it like that. I mean, I don't understand that. You know, you have to cry to God for mercy. Praise the Lord. And when he cried to God for mercy, because he already said, if you turn unto me with all your heart and you seek my face, humble yourself, turn from your wicked ways, I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land. That's a promise. Hallelujah. But sometimes, you know, God will pronounce a judgment, even against a prophet sometimes, and they just take it like that. Why didn't they come up, you know, pray and ask the Lord for God's mercy? I don't know. But, you know, that teaches us a lesson. Let's always ask for God's mercy. And Daniel would lay it out. He said, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. We have done all of this evil and so forth. All the things that Moses commanded us, we didn't do it, you know, and so on and so forth. So all of this evil. And he began to pray, just asking God for mercy. And began to pray and began to pray and began to pray. Hallelujah. And now notice in verse 21. Let me start from verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins, so you see how he was doing it. He was praying, he was confessing his sins and the sins of his people during his supplication. So those are elements of supplication. It involves contrition. It involves repentance. It involves confessing our sins. You know, so when we have this day of convocation and prayer and fasting beginning Friday, you know, we want to do these things. We want to come and lay before the Lord. We want to come and show how great God is in his holiness, praise the beauty of holiness, but then bring our own indictment upon ourselves, you know, because, I mean, hey, look at the state of the church today. Something is wrong from where God wanted it to be, you know. So, you know, why? Is it God? Has God, is God's hand shortened that he cannot save? Hello? Is God's hand shortened that he cannot save? Is God a God of yesterday? All the things he did that we read in the book of Acts of Apostles, why are we not seeing them today? Well, because we have forsaken his ways and his standards. And everybody has gone to his own tents, O Israel, and so forth. And we are minding our own, been running about and all of these things. And the house of the Lord, the kingdom's business, lies waste. So we must come back, hallelujah, with a heart of contrition and with repentance before the Lord. And while I was speaking in prayer and confessing my sins and the sins of my people and presenting my supplication. So notice, this is described as supplication, which includes confessing sins and all of these things that they are doing and asking for God's mercy. That's supplication. As I was doing it before the Lord and so forth, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who I had seen at the first, being called swiftly to fly at the time of the evening oblation, came and touched me and so forth like that, and informed me and gave him a wonderful promise. He said, look, at the beginning of thy supplications and the commandments went forth. So this prayer of Daniel, which some people describe as intercession, it may be intercession, but the Bible describes it as supplication. He has been supplicating, praying, asking, begging for God's mercy on his behalf and on the behalf of his people. Not exactly intercession, because he wasn't just praying for somebody else, he included himself in it. So take notice, and the prophecy, Daniel's 70th week prophecy went forth, you know, out of that prayer that he was praying. So, now, let's go quickly, because of time. Let's go quickly to intercessions. We have shown supplications, and supplication is perhaps, you know, one of the most important things we need to do when we come to prayer together this weekend. That means, you know, contrition for our sins, for our shortcomings before the Lord, and asking and pleading and petitioning for his mercy that he will show up. Praise the Lord. So that's supplication. Now let's look at intercessions. Remember, Paul said that supplications and prayer and intercessions and giving of thanks should be made for all men. So let's see, look at intercessions. Intercession is usually prayer on the behalf of somebody else. That's usually what intercession is. And there is nobody that knows how to do that intercession better than the Holy Ghost himself. Amen. In the book of Romans chapter 8, let's quickly read verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, likewise the Spirit, that's capital S, that's the Holy Ghost, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Ghost himself, you know, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, that Holy Ghost, he can really pray, boy. And he said, you know, and when he begins to do that, he searches the hearts. That's right. Searches the heart. The psalmist used to pray, say, Lord, search my heart. Try the reins of my heart to see if there be any wickedness in me or any of these things and so forth. He knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, and he knows how to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that's one of the roles or ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life, through prayer. You know, when we let the Holy Spirit use us to pray, you know, there are some groanings that he makes that are just, you know, they can't even be uttered. And he knows how to do that, because he can pray according to the will of God for the saints of God. You know, and he can go right into the mind of God. He can search the hearts and so forth, and he can really pull out some things, you know, and bring it before the Lord. And the Holy Ghost can do that. Now, and also we are instructed to do the same.
We are instructed to do the same. And I'm going to show you some examples of some people that were great intercessors in the Bible. You know, let's take a look at Abraham. I'm going to go through very quickly these examples. Abraham, when he was interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, turn with me to Genesis 18. Let's look at the story from about verse 20. When the Lord and two angels came and appeared to Abraham, told him about Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord said, look, I have heard the report of this place, you know, and all the debauchery and evil that is going on there, and I'm going to check it out for myself, you know, and you know, if everything be so, then I'm going to overthrow the place. So, you know, the two angels went on, and Abraham, we are told, he stood before the Lord. And then Abraham immediately, knowing what God has said, that he's going to go and judge that place and so forth, and Abraham thinking, well, gee, you know, my nephew Lot is down there and so forth, you know. So he began to stand before the Lord, and he said, look, Lord, will thou destroy the righteous? I mean, you know the story. You know, without destroy the righteous with even the wicked. Be it far from you, Lord. He begin to come before the Lord, say, I know you won't do that. And the Lord said, and he said, look, if you can find just 50 people in that place. Now that's intercession, boy. Because he's not praying for himself. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's over here on the other side, in the plains of memory and all this other place that he's on. You know, so he's praying for these people. If you can find 50 righteous people there, are you going to destroy the place, you know, and destroy all the righteous people? The Lord said, no, if I find 50, I won't do it. And then Abraham thought, he said, oh, my goodness, what if there's no 50? Well, say, Lord, what about if it's 45? Will you spare the place? He said, yeah, I'll spare the place for 45. He said, well, what if it is not 45? What if it's 40? And he went on and on. You know the story. So he went on. Now, finally, he got down to about 10. And he said, well, Lord, I know I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord, you know, but hear me this one time. He said, I've several times. Hear me this one time, Lord. Hear me this one time. Well, what if it's just 10 folks that you find there? Are you going to destroy the people for just 10? I mean, destroy the whole place if there are 10 righteous people there? The Lord said, for 10? No, I won't do it. So the Lord walked away. You know, maybe if he had kept going, if the Lord allowed him to keep going, he might have got down to 1. You know, and the Lord might have said, spare the place, you know. So the Lord, you know, went on and so forth. He stopped there. You know, I don't know why, but anyhow, the Lord moved on. You know, but we see that great story, how he stood there and began to intercede. Well, in that particular case, it didn't pan out because, you know, but Abraham did his part. He didn't pan out because there was not exactly 10 righteous people in that place. God could not find 10. Can you imagine? A whole place full of two cities, great cities, and God could not find 10 righteous people. How sad. You know, but nevertheless, Abraham, he stood and interceded for them. And then you know what happened. You know, of course, judgment came because God couldn't find them. God tried to save Lot and his family, though. You know, and you know what happened with that story. Now, let's take a look quickly at Moses. So we see that Abraham was a great intercessor because he stood right there before the Lord. And he challenged the Lord and said, look, Lord, you know, how are you going to let this kind of thing happen? You know, and so on. So you are the God, the judge of the whole earth, the righteous God. You are not going to destroy righteous with the wicked. He did that. So let's look at Moses also, standing in the gap of intercessor. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, twice in that chapter, turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Twice in that chapter, Moses had to intercede for the children of Israel. Now, there are other parts of the stories, you know, later on he alluded to it in Numbers, and in Deuteronomy he came back and gave a more longer narrative of it, but this is where it happened. Exodus chapter 32. Let's start at verse 9. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone. The Lord said, leave me alone. Let me destroy them. You know, let me consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Well, I mean, for somebody who would be in the flesh, that might have sounded good. You know, destroy all the others and make me the great nation in place of them, but not Moses. Moses, you know, let's see Moses' response. Verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God.
And he said unto the Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? These are your people that you brought forth out of the land of Egypt with your own mighty hand, and you showed all those great signs. Why are you now waxing hot against? Now that's an intercessor boy, because he stands right there. I said, why will you now let the heathen say, because the Lord could not keep them alive? He brought them forth out of that only to destroy them in this wilderness. Why would you now let that happen? And he began to ask the Lord, he said, will you don't let the Egyptians begin to tell us that the Lord devised mischief against his own people and so on. And he began to remind the Lord, remember Abraham, your servant. Remember your promises and so forth. Now, if you wipe these people off, how is your promise to Abraham going to be fulfilled? Praise the Lord. That is an intercessor beginning to challenge God with his word. Challenging God with his word. The same thing that Abraham did. He challenged God by his character. He challenged God because he knew that God was a character, was a righteous God. And he used that to challenge God. You will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Moses was challenging God by his word. This is the promise you made to Abraham, how you are going to, you know, make his seed and so forth, do all these things. You know, and if you now destroy it, how is that promise going to be fulfilled? You know, and he began to speak to the Lord and so forth, and so on and so forth. And listen to verse 14. And the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. The Lord repented him of the evil which he thought to do unto these people. Oh, wow. You know, and the Lord said, at any instant, at what instant I will pronounce to do evil against a nation? At any instant that I will pronounce to do evil against any people, if that people against whom I have spoken the evil shall turn from their wicked ways and pray, I will turn the evil. Praise ye the name of the Lord. There's a flip side that to that, though. At any instant that I pronounce blessing upon a nation, if that nation also becomes stiff-necked and go away from my ways, and turn their back against me, I will forget all the goodness that I promised them, and I will bring evil upon that nation. So that's a dangerous place to be. America, repent. Amen. Amen, folks. That's right. Now, that's not my subject, but let's move on. So we see how Moses prevailed in prayer with God. Also, in that same chapter, let's fast forward to verse 30. Verse 30 of that same chapter. Now, whatever, you know, this story here, whatever they did and so forth, you know, how they got the golden calf and Aaron did stuff and, you know, got all their, you know, golden earrings and all that, made the molten image for them and all that. And Moses was angry and so on, you know, when he came and saw all that they did. Now, so here's what Moses said in verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have seen a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord peradventure. I will make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have seen a great sin, and have made them these gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt, see. Now, here is another great thing that Moses did. Now, this time, Moses, he had nothing. He had nothing to offer. Last time he was able to offer God his own promise. You know, and God looked at that promise and said, yeah, you're right. You know, okay. Well, this time Moses had nothing to offer these people because of this great sin. So he offered himself. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, if you will indeed not forgive these people, if you are going to forgive them, that's fine. But if you will not, then I offer myself instead. Destroy me. Wipe me off. Blot me out of your book. But let these people go. Now, that's some intercessor, boy. That is some intercessor. And the Lord said, I'll never do that. The person that sins against me is the person that I will blot out. Not the one that hasn't sinned. I'm not going to blot you out in place of it. But you see, Moses, he stood right there like the Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. He stood right there like the Christ. You know, put their sin upon me. But let them go, you know. But so he stood there and he prevailed in prayer and so forth. But of course, the Lord's anger was great, you know. And that time, you know, and so forth, you know, the judgment followed
The Lord did some few things there and so on. But we see how Moses stood in prayer two times in that same chapter, you know, for the people of Israel. Now, there was another man who was a great intercessor. His name was Stephen. His story is in the book of Acts chapters 6 through 7 and so on. And we see that when they were even stoning him, in the book of Acts chapter 7 from verse 54, we see how they were stoning him and, you know, he raised up his hand and so forth. He looked, he saw visions of glory. He saw the Christ standing up and so forth. And he prayed as they were stoning him. Folks, lay not this charge to them, O Lord. How many people can really do that? You know, they're stoning him to death. They're gnashing upon him with their teeth and everything like that. And he's saying, Lord, forgive them. And lay not this charge to them. Lay not this sin to their charge. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to about verse 60. So you can read that. I want to move on real quickly. So that was a great intercessor too. Also, you know, putting behind, you know, all the things that the people are doing against him and so forth, and still standing in the gap for the same people that are destroying his life and saying, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. I forgive them. I release them. I pray that you release them also. How many of you can say amen? That's right. Now, the ultimate intercessor, the matchless Christ, the incomparable Jesus Christ. He is the great and the ultimate intercessor of all time. And let's pick up his story here in the book of John 17. It was already alluded to today. In that whole chapter of John 17, Jesus began to pray for his disciples. And not only for them, he said, not only for these ones who are here, but all those down through the ages that will hear about me through their word. So he already prayed for you as well. And he said, Oh, Holy Father, keep through thy name those whom you have given unto me. And he began to praise God. He said, look, you are the one that gave them to me and so forth. And I have declared your name unto them and all that. And now I'm about to leave the world. And I pray that you will keep them from the wicked one. And he even said, Lord, he said, look, I'm not praying for the whole world exactly. But these ones that love your name and believe you and so forth like that, keep them from the wicked one. Don't take them out of the world. I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world. But while they are here, because they've got a job to do, keep them from the wicked one. And he began to ask the Lord, he said, look, that great glory, hallelujah, that I had with you from the beginning, I want to share it with them. Can you say praise the Lord? Every time I read that, I am comforted by the great promise that Jesus already prayed that prayer. Well, we may not look exactly like anything close to anything that we even have the glory of God right now. But Jesus prayed that prayer. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he said, you know, I will share that glory. I want them to even see me in my glory. And later on, you know, I want them to share my glory with me. That glory when I'm unified with you. And when I sit with my Father in his throne, I want them to also sit with me, even in my throne. Oh my. And Jesus, he stood there. He prayed that prayer. You know, for all the believers down through the ages. You know, and he interceded for every one of them. And let's get into some other things about some kind of intercession that grinds it out. You know, now Jesus is also, again, the great prayer warrior when it comes to that. I mean, he can pray some prayers, boy. You know, the book of Luke, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 22, quickly. Luke chapter 22. From verses 41 to about 44. Now, we're talking about the importance of prayer. You know, I'm just breaking down the different kinds of prayer. You know, but you see how, you know, people have used prayer to change the hand, even the hand of God sometimes. You know, in this Luke chapter 22, we see that Jesus telling his disciples to pray, but they didn't pray. Folks, when we call for this kind of prayer, and you don't come because you'd rather be somewhere else watching TV, doing whatever, going to the movies and so forth like that. Well, this is what happens to people who didn't pray. When Jesus told them to pray, they didn't pray. I mean, you know, they slept and they did all kinds of things other than pray. You know? And every single last one of them denied the Lord. Every one last one of them. Even the one that boasted and said, I will never, even if everybody else is doing it, I'll never do it. He denied the Lord point blank because he didn't pray when he should have prayed. And the Lord knew that all of these things will happen, and he began to get in prayer. And he prayed. Being in agony, the Bible says he prayed. He prayed. Look at verse 42 of Luke chapter 22. He began to pray. And as he began to pray, he said, look, Lord, you know, if you can take this cup from me, take it, but not my will, but thine be done. And as he began to pray, it happened that even angels came, you know, strengthened him and so forth. And he was in agony. He began to pray. I mean, this is some kind of prayer, bro. This is prayer that grinds it out. You know, none of you have prayed this kind of prayer. I haven't prayed this kind of prayer. You know, I don't know if somebody has prayed it. He prayed this prayer. Blood was coming out of his forehead like sweat. Hello, folks. Let me read it to you. And being in agony, Luke 22, verse 44. He prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And I tell you, that is some prayer. And he wrestled for that elect. And I tell you, he went for that gold, and he got it. Praise the Lord! And that is the reason why we are sitting here today. Give the Lord a hand clap for that if you believe that the Lord that prayed through. He prayed through, folks. He prayed through. Of course, you know, there were other things facing him and so forth like that. He was going to become iniquity, which he, you know, he couldn't have any part of it and so forth like that. But he went through it. And he prayed through for the elect of God. It's called a pearl of great price. And he went through and he got it. Hallelujah. Now that is some intercession. Now, God is looking for intercessors. Are you still with me, folks? People that can stand the gap. Now, let me dispel a myth right now. I'm going to dispel a myth. There is a myth that people have heard about intercessors. It's kind of like people think that intercessors are some elect, select, elite class. Some elite and the chosen class. Well, I don't see any scripture in the Bible to support that at all. When Paul wrote about the five ministerial gifts, intercessors were not mentioned. When he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, intercession was not mentioned. Why? Because God expects every believer to be an intercessor. There is not a select group of people. You know, when people become intercessors, when you begin to think of people being, you know, the intercessors being a select group of people that really can pray and so forth, you know, folks, that may lead to pride. It may lead to pride because the person who can really pray like that may think that they are better than other people and so forth. You know, and then it's like Pharisee that say, well, you know, I'm not like other men. I can do this. I can do that. I can pray and so forth like that. It leads to pride. God expects every believer to be an intercessor. Can you say praise the Lord? That's what Paul wrote about. You know, he was writing to all the saints that you should be an intercessor. He said, make prayers, make intercessions. You know, it's not for a select group of people, folks. And some people think, well, you know, I'm not a prayer warrior. I'm not a this, I'm not a that. Well, you know, you are. Because God wants everybody to be an intercessor. Listen to this. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, and verse 5. I'm going to read two verses quickly from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 13 and verse 5. The Lord said, look, you have not gone up into the gaps. You have not made up the hedge for the house of Israel. You have not, you know, even stood, see, in the battle for the people. So God is looking for intercessions, and he's actually bringing an indictment here against the people, against, you know, even the ministers and against everybody for not standing for one another. Samuel said one time, he was also another great intercessor. I don't have time to go into his story. But he said, look, the Lord forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for the people. You know, so this is something that God expects. Let me run quickly to Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Now, somebody's thinking in their mind, well, you know, intercession, this and that. Well, you know, what I told you was the truth. God wants all of us to be intercessors. Now, every man has his gift this way or that way, you know, but this praying, this importance of prayer is for everybody. There's no ministry of prayer that is separated. There's no ministry of intercession anywhere in the Bible that they talk about in the New Testament. Every believer should be an intercessor. Now, listen to this. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should destroy it. Not, but I found none. He's looking for intercessors. Anybody, you know, it's not a select group. Anybody that will stand. And you need to read the story in the book of Ezekiel, this same Ezekiel. If you go back and read the chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 9, we preached on this before. God sent judgment through the land, and he said, look, before you destroy the place, you know, look for those intercessors, those that are signed and for the abomination of the land, you know, and put mark on them and so forth, and then go in and destroy the place. You know, God always is looking for that person that can stand in prayer. But I want everybody to know that God has called us on to prayer. Every one of us. Don't think you don't have the ministry of prayer, therefore you're not going to pray. There's no such thing. We are all called on to prayer. God expects all of us to make supplications and prayers and so forth for all men. Quickly, thanksgiving. The other kind of prayer that Paul talked about. Supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Let's quickly go through that. Giving of thanks. Throughout the Bible, we are commanded to do that. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says that we should be anxious for nothing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. But in everything by prayer, again, notice, by prayer and supplication. These things are always there. Everything. He's talking to all believers. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Always include that thanksgiving. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving unto the Lord. Listen to this also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just quickly rushing through this because of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 16 through 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. He says, rejoice evermore. And then the next verse says, pray without ceasing. And then after that he says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, thanksgiving. All over the Bible, we're commanded to do that. Now, listen to this. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 20, it says the same thing. Ephesians 5, 20, real quick. Ephesians 5, and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says that. And in verse Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, he says exactly the same. We are commanded to give thanks all the time. He says, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. That's in whatsoever you do, give thanks to God. In whatsoever you do, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So we are commanded to do this, you know, throughout these scriptures. Now, let me read a few psalms quickly as we see how the psalmist, he brought out this thanksgiving about the Lord and so forth. Now, these are the elements of prayer. And when we put it together, these are the things that move God. Remember, even though the topic was the importance of prayer, I went into these different kinds of prayer, and we're going to put it together at the end. Now, Psalm 30 and verse 4. Psalm 30 and verse 4. Let's begin to praise the Lord. The Bible says, for all the various things. You even praise God at the remembrance of his holiness. Sing unto the Lord, O ye, he sings. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Can you say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Psalm 97 and verse 12 says the same thing.
Give thanks unto God at the remembrance of his holiness. Say, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance. That's something that we don't do enough. You know, we ought to just give thanks just for remembering his holiness, just for remembering his righteousness. I mean, for remembering how great things that God has done for us, even in this little congregation, where he said, fear not, little flock. It is our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And how great things he has done. Let's give thanks unto him. I'm going to quickly read some Psalms of thanksgiving. Psalms 136, verses 1 to 3. Psalms 136, verses 1 to 3. Let's see how quickly the psalmist brings it together. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Come on, somebody. For his mercy does what? For his mercy endureth forever. Let's read the next verse. Oh, give what? Thanks unto the Lord. Who is the God of gods? Why? For his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And then verse 26 also says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. Now let's look at Psalm 107 and verse 1. Quickly, Psalm 107 verse 1. Just to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The same thing. Even Psalm 106 verse 1 says the same thing. And you see how many times in the Bible we are told this thing. Psalm 106 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And Psalm 118 and verse 1. Psalm 118 verse 1. Same thing again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now, let Israel say so, that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And let them that fear the Lord say his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, in summary, this is what we have spoken. I rushed through all of that, you know, quickly because of time. What we have spoken about is, you know, the importance of prayer and the various kinds of prayer that we can bring together. And this, you can bring these kinds of prayers together. Even in one prayer session, we can bring it all together. When we come together this Friday, by the grace of God, we're going to bring all these kinds of prayers together. We're going to bring supplications. We're going to bring intercessions. And then we're going to bring giving of thanks. We're going to put it all together. You know, remember, supplication involves repentance, contrition, you know, confessing our sins and so forth like that, indicting ourselves by his word against, you know, ourselves. You know, I say, look, hey, you know, we have not done exactly what the Lord told us to do and so forth. And then reaching out to his mercy. Praise the Lord. And then as we continue to go through that, you know, we stand in the gap, you know, for others. We're going to, you know, intercession. We're going to say, Lord, for every sinner and every person that is wayward and so forth that you are going to bring into this assembly, Father, we pray that you will have mercy on some and bring them, snatch them by fire and do all of these things. We're going to stand in the gap, begin to pull people in and so forth. And then we're going to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We're going to give thanks knowing that God will do what he has promised. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. I rushed through that very quickly and I am done. I am done with that. I want to invite everybody to cultivate a habit of prayer. You know, don't say that I'm not an intercessor or I am not a prayer warrior. You know, there's no such thing. All of us are commanded to do these things. And Jesus himself, the same kind of thing that Stephen said when he prayed when people were stoning him, Jesus did the same thing. I was just reminded of that verse now. Luke 23 and verse 24. Jesus himself said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that's the prayer of an intercessor. You can stand in the gap, even for somebody who has offended you, and you can pray for them and lay not it to their charge. But if you lay it to their charge, if you hold it against them, it is held against them. Remember, Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. But if you hold on to whosoever sins, then they are held. So if you don't release somebody from their sins, then they are held. And it will be held against your account as well, because you did not forgive. Praise the Lord. But if we forgive and release people, then our Heavenly Father guarantees
that all of our sins and so forth will be forgiven and we are released as well. Now, let's lift up our hands wherever we are. I'm going to invite us to give yourself unto prayer. I'm going to challenge us not to say that, look, I'm not a prayer warrior. I know we use those phrases. We have the prayer warrior division. We have this, we have that, and so forth like that. Well, that's just some phrases that we coined. You know, God wants all of us to be prayer warriors. He wants all of us to be intercessors. He wants all of us to be engaged in supplications, intercessions, prayers, and giving of thanks for all men and for all saints. He wants everybody to do it. Now, because of time, I skipped something. But I'm going to say it to you. I'm not going to read it. In James chapter 5, talking about the importance of prayer, God gave some prescription. If any man is sad, what did God say he should do? Let him pray. You know, that's what you should do. Don't go grab a gallon of chocolate ice cream. No. When you are sad, you should pray. Praise the Lord. That's God's prescription. If you are merry, of course, sing psalms, you know, and praise the name of the Lord. And if you are sick, the Bible says that you should call for the elders of the church. Now, if we take God literally at his word and do these things, if you are sick and you call for the elders of the church and say, I'm sick, come and pray for me and so forth, the Bible says God will raise him up. Amen. Hallelujah. If we do our part, God is guaranteed to do his part. So those are all the things, importance of prayer. But more importantly, because we are looking for revival, we must pray and seek the Lord. Let's raise up our hands, and I'm going to take a few minutes to pray. I am going to ask the Lord to put the mantle of prayer on each one of us. Again, God is looking for somebody that will stand in the gap. God is looking for intercessors and prayer warriors. And don't say I'm not, because he expects every one of us. All these commandments we read in the Bible, praying with all prayer for all saints and so forth, and supplication for all men, was a commandment given to everybody, not just a select class of people. So we should all be praying. Now let's pray. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that prayer be uppermost in our hearts, that you put the mantle of prayer upon us, Lord, that we understand what it means in prayer to spend time with you. And Lord, we thank you for these examples that we have read in the Bible today. And we pray that you give us understanding how that you are looking for somebody that will stand in the gap. And Lord, even like Samuel was taught to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Now, I want you to take a minute. I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer in just a minute. I want you to take a minute and think about it. God is looking for intercessors. God is looking for prayer warriors. Not just this Friday, but even this Friday, but also every day of our lives. And I want you to say, Lord, I want you to volunteer for the Lord. And say, Lord, here I am. Make me a channel of prayer that will be a blessing to others. Let's take a moment and each one of us pray that prayer. And if you can sincerely pray that prayer today, God is going to help you. God will help you to become a person of prayer. Because without prayer, we are powerless Christians. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray for every one of us, beginning with myself, for the mantle of prayer will be upon me in Jesus' name. Lord, I release myself. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, I give myself away. Well, I give myself to the Lord so that he may use me. Lord, I give myself to you that you may use me. Lord, use me, use my brother, and use my sister. You know, as we begin to understand the importance of prayer, and as we begin to stand in the gap for one another and stand in prayer, repenting of our sins and calling upon the name of the Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will visit us in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that you quicken everybody here also to put into our hearts to come together for prayer, for fasting, for prayer, for contrition before the Lord, to seek his face and to ask for his move among us. We give you the praise and give you the glory mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together. Amen.